It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. A new phase in the impeachment probe.
The House Committee on the Judiciary will come to order.
That is our top story at noon, coming off the heels of a House Intelligence Committee report that Democrats say proved the president abused his position. Today, the House Judiciary Committee opened its hearing. Democratic Chairman Jerry Nadler.
The facts before us are undisputed. On July 25th, President Trump called President Zelensky of Ukraine and, in President Trump's words, asked him for a favor. That call was part of a concerted effort by the president and his men to solicit a personal advantage in the next election.
Congressman Doug Collins is the ranking Republican on the House Judiciary Committee. He says Democrats are trying to take out a president before an election.
That's what this committee values. Time. They want to do it before the end of the year. Why? Because the chairman said it just a second ago. Because we're scared of the elections next year. We're scared of the elections that we'll lose again. So we've got to do this now. The clock and the calendar are what's driving impeachment, not the facts.
Testifying today, four constitutional experts, three siding with the Democrats, one with President Trump.
I'm concerned about lowering impeachment standards to fit a paucity of evidence and an abundance of anger. I believe this impeachment not only fails to satisfy the standard of past impeachments, but would create a dangerous precedent for future impeachments.
That's legal analyst Jonathan Turley. As House Democrats are pushing impeachment in Washington today, President Trump abruptly wrapping up his trip to London by calling out his neighbor to the north.
Well, he's too fast.
The president reacting to news that Prime Minister Justin Trudeau was caught on a hot mic mocking him. Mr. Trump says his Canadian counterpart is bitter about having to pay his fair share to NATO.
I called him out on the fact that he's not paying 2%, and I guess he's not very happy about it.
The president now on his way back home to Washington after leaving early the two-day NATO summit in London. Bombshell in Buffalo, that is the other big story at noon. Pope Francis accepting the resignation today of Buffalo Bishop Richard Malone. It comes amid the priest sex abuse scandal in Western New York.
73-year-old Bishop Richard Malone has been under pressure for years for allegedly covering up dozens of abuse cases involving priests and children in his diocese in Buffalo.
Deborah Rodriguez reporting. Paul Seil, a priest near Buffalo.
What I'd just like to see is for us to take a breath, have a moment of peace entering into the through this Advent and into the Christmas season, and start rebuilding in a very careful and very measured way.
Albany Bishop Edward Scharfenberger will take over operations in Buffalo on a temporary basis while Pope Francis looks for a permanent replacement. The bishop held a press conference this morning in Buffalo.
I have no hidden agenda. I didn't get a big document from the Holy See that said this is what you have to do. I have no marching orders other than to show up and to be who I am.
Richard Malone led the Diocese of Buffalo for nearly 8 years. During that time, over 100 priests were accused of abusing kids.
By burying it, by dancing around it, he's caused everybody more pain. And that's why he's lost all credibility in this community. He's not going because he's tired. He's going because he has lost the flock.
Attorney Steve Boyd represents hundreds of pre-sex abuse victims in Western New York. Bishop Malone not the only one stepping down. California Senator Kamala Harris officially ending her presidential bid. The Democrat says she ran out of money.
I'm not a billionaire. I can't fund my own campaign.
Lack of money not the only reason behind Harris's decision to bow out.
She likely soon will have to be a juror in a weeks-long Senate impeachment trial, a responsibility that would keep her off the campaign trail.
That's political analyst Ed O'Keefe. Fewer Americans giving money to charity and their relationship with God may have something to do with that.
20 million fewer U.S. adults donate to charity today than did 20 years ago. Researchers at the Indiana University School of Philanthropy says just over half, 53% of us gave money to charity in 2016. That's down from 66% in the year 2000. Experts say one factor driving the decline in giving is that Americans are less likely to attend religious services or identify with a specific religion. Researchers found regular church attendance directly correlates with charitable giving. Millennials in particular are giving less to charity than their older counterparts. Bob Price, Family Life News.
Thank you, Bob. Private sector job growth in the U.S. continues to fall after hitting a six-month low last month. ADP says just 67,000 jobs were created last month, which was less than half of what the experts had been predicting. The fountain of youth may be regular exercise.
Older men who've been athletes all their lives have the muscle cells of a 25-year-old, and they weather the inflammatory damage associated with aging and disease much better than their couch potato peers. The Ball State University researchers also found evidence that older men who've been sedentary their whole lives will find it much harder to turn back their biological clocks, but they say it's never too late to start exercising. A study on women coming soon.
Correspondent Vicky Barker, speaking of exercise, Peloton catching some online heat for its new holiday ad. Critics note that the wife and mother at the heart of the commercial is already plenty trim when her husband gives her the high-end stationary bike as a Christmas gift. Plenty of folks posting about it online.
Why is that already fit, rich woman the center of this ad? Another writing, nothing says maybe you should lose a few pounds like gifting your already rail-thin life partner a Peloton.
Reporter Stephanie Gosk says there's also complaints about body shaming and snobbery in a commercial that focuses on a $2,000 exercise bike in a $1 million home. Still to come this Wednesday, what's next for the Buffalo Diocese, lake effect snows in ski country, and a cafe for cats in Happy Valley.
Well, good afternoon to all. We're tracking some lake effect snow and sprinkles in parts of the area this afternoon. I'll be back with forecast details coming up. We'll see you in 10 minutes.
Thank you, Kevin Williams. Checking the stories making news where you live in New York and PA Wednesday, December 4th. He is done. Embattled Buffalo Bishop Richard Malone stepping down following years of controversy over his handling of the pre-sex abuse scandal in Western New York.
The fact that we will have a new start, that's the best thing that could possibly happen to us.
Paul Seil, a priest in Orchard Park, New York, he says Bishop Malone had no other choice but to go. Abuse victim Gary Astridge claims Malone tried to protect pedophile priests.
In my opinion, I just felt this guy is supposed to be a leader, and he's really not.
The Catholic Diocese of Western New York calling Bishop Malone's departure today an early retirement. But attorney Michael Tahiri says that's simply not true.
This is really a request in all likelihood directly from the Pope to tender your resignation, but tender it under the guise of a retirement. And that, frankly, lacks transparency. It should be forthright, truthful. Call it what it is. It's a resignation. It's not a retirement.
Albany Bishop Edward Scharfenberger taking over operations on a temporary basis. He spoke earlier today.
A lot of times people say, you know, how you're going to restore the trust. And there's no question that trust has been broken. Survivors of sexual abuse are our family. If you see something, say something. Never be afraid to come forward.
The lake effect snow machine firing up again in ski country today. Winter weather advisories up through tomorrow morning when parts of western New York, northwestern PA, you could be looking at over half a foot of the white stuff.
As you go across the southern tier, it does look like tonight we could see 3 to 6, maybe 5 to 8 inches in a few spots across the higher terrain, especially across the Chautauqua Ridge up into the Boston Hills.
That's David Thomas at the National Weather Service in Buffalo. A man is dead following an officer-involved shooting happened in Syracuse last night on Fenton Street. Authorities say it involved a domestic dispute between a man and a 6-year-old boy. Police say when they arrived on the scene, the child had already been shot. That boy listed in critical condition this afternoon. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo defending the state's criminal justice reforms, which are set to take effect the first of the year.
New Jersey did this same basic plan a few years ago. The wheels did not fall off the car. It brought more justice to the system.
The changes get rid of cash bail for misdemeanors and non-violent felonies. A lot of law enforcement officials, though, argue the reforms pose a public safety risk.
I've heard from district attorneys, I've heard from law enforcement, I've heard from judges that are very, very concerned about this.
State Senator Chris Jacobs supporting legislation that would create a one-year moratorium on those criminal justice reforms. Fatal house fire in Bradford County, Pennsylvania. First responders on the scene early this morning in the town of New Albany. That home a complete loss. The deceased victim found inside. Others were able to get out of that burning home earlier today. New York state lawmakers considering a tax hike to help offset a $6 billion budget deficit. Family Life's Jeremy Miller.
Assembly Democrats acknowledge that new revenue sources will be needed to tackle the budget gap. Democrats don't want to cut spending, especially to the Medicaid program, which has fueled much of that budget gap, so that $6 billion may have to come from the taxpayer. Governor Cuomo has been hesitant to embrace any tax increases. Lawmakers return to Albany on January 8th. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Thank you, Jeremy. 152 teaching positions on the chopping block in Rochester, New York, as that district tries to close a $30 million budget hole.
This is a sort of a Christmas massacre. They shouldn't do that to the kids or to the staff.
Adam Urbanski, president of the Rochester Teachers Union.
Doing it right away is not as good as doing it right. Hold off. Postpone any action until the end of the school year.
Delaying reductions in staffing is a no-go.
Superintendent Terry Dade updating the district's financial recovery plan last night. He says if cuts aren't made right away, the district's deficit could grow to $64 million. The teacher cuts expected to save Rochester City Schools nearly $7.5 million. A Southern Tier church closing its doors after more than 200 years. Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
The First Congregational United Church of Christ, which was built in 1808, is closing its doors for good after dwindling attendance and a lack of funds. Pat Robinson has been the pastor for the past 20 years.
I do know that I will have a box of Kleenex on the pulpit because I will cry.
She tells WBNG she's seen many highs and lows within her congregation over the years, but closing the church will be the hardest.
There's a lot of stuff that happens that you deal with, and the only way you deal with it is because God stands behind you.
The church in Sydney, New York will hold its last sermon this month. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. State College, Pennsylvania, home to the Nittany Lions now, thanks to approval from zoning officials in Happy Valley. It could soon be home to a cafe for cats.
Sharon Myers, a Penn State English instructor, submitted the application back in September. She told the Center Daily Times that she wanted to open a cat cafe to both provide a stress reliever for students and encourage adoption of local rescued cats. Plans for the cafe include an eating area with seating and a separate vestibule inside the building serving as a lounge for cats and visitors. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Thank you, Terry. Get ready for the return of Flutie Flakes. Wegman says it's bringing back the iconic cereal next week. The move will go along with a ceremony at New Era Field on Sunday when former Buffalo Bills quarterback Doug Flutie will be honored. Little round ball last night. Sunny time. 2 minute drill.
Yeah, let's start with college basketball. Jordan Wara had 22 points and 12 rebounds. Number one Louisville crushing number five Michigan 58-43. The Cards improved to 8-0 on the season. Louisville head coach Chris Mack.
I think the story of the game was just our defensive effort from the beginning of the game all the way through.
The Wolverines suffered their first loss of the season to fall to 7-1. Elsewhere in the ACC Big Ten Challenge, Iowa big over the Orange 68-54 in the Dome. Pitt improves to 7-2 with their victory against Rutgers. In other action, Ryder with a 20-point win against Bucknell, and Saban Lee helped lead Vanderbilt to a 90-76 win against Buffalo. To the NBA, Blake Griffin scored 24. The Pistons pounded the Cavaliers 127-94. The Cavs have dropped 10 of their last 11 games. In Toronto, undefeated no more. Jimmy Butler scored 8 of his 22 in overtime. Heat outlasted the Raptors 121 to 110. That's the first home loss of the season for the defending world champion Raptors. On the ice, Claude Giroux snapped a 1-1 tie midway through the third. Flyers tacked on four more late to rout the Maple Leafs 6-1. Giroux on the victory.
I see, confidence has a lot to do with it, and we're comfortable winning a game 2-1 or 1-0.
Philly won its fifth straight. New Jersey loses the game 4-3 against the Golden Knights, and their head coach, John Hines, fired before the game. New Jersey has dropped three straight. And in Montreal, the Canadiens defeated the Islanders 4-2. Montreal ended an eight-game losing streak, the longest for the Habs since 2002-2003.
It's Teddy Bear!
One of the greatest traditions in sports, that's the Hershey Bears of the AHL, with a world record 45,650 stuffed animals to be donated to children's charities. Way to go. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphier.
Good stuff. Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Wednesday edition of the Noon Report, a new phase in the impeachment inquiry, a new bishop in the city of Buffalo, and a new van for a father of five.
Some women are never mentioned in Time Magazine list or by the Women Leaders Global Forum, but we should know who they are. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stonestreet. This is Breakpoint. Last week in Reykjavik, Iceland, the Women Leaders Global Forum gathered to recognize and celebrate women making a positive difference in the world. The Trailblazer Award honored women who've won high political office. Others were recognized for their work in easing various stigmas and discrimination that women face around the world. There was even a category for female Nobel Prize laureates, an award on top of an award, if you will. While I'm happy to say congratulations to them all, I couldn't help but think of the amazing women who are at least as worthy of recognition, yet are never mentioned at any of these secular events. The women I'm thinking of have at least one thing in common. In their various causes and through very different work, they speak up for those who in our culture have no voice. The unborn, those with disability, or victims of the sexual revolution. Obianuju Ekiocha, or Uju, as her friends call her, is the founder and president of Culture of Life Africa. A Nigerian-born biomedical scientist, she's devoted her life to promoting the sanctity of life, the beauty of marriage, and the blessing of family in Africa. In fact, Uju's one of the main leaders of the pro-life movement on that continent. Her bold declarations in defense of the unborn and against progressive sexual ethics is confronting what she calls Western ideological imperialism. By the way, Uju will be speaking at our 2020 Wilberforce Weekend in May. Trust me, you don't want to miss that. Another heroine to know, Rachel Den Hollander. This gymnast turned lawyer brought down USA Gymnastics doctor and serial abuser Larry Nassar. In doing so, she enabled hundreds of his victims to have a voice. She now spends her time as a wife, a mother, and a crusader for the dignity of women and girls, especially calling the church to take sexual abuse seriously. We recently interviewed her on the Breakpoint podcast. I'll link you to that at breakpoint.org. And then there's Lila Rose, president and founder of Live Action. Lila is one of the most influential voices in the modern pro-life movement and the unquestioned media leader. From her undercover work exposing Planned Parenthood to her defense of the pro-life cause in mainstream media, she's a powerhouse, and she's proof that the pro-life movement is, in many ways, being led by a younger generation. And then there's Katie Faust, an author, children's rights activist, and founder of the organization Them Before Us. She's challenging one of the foulest lies of the sexual revolution, that the desires of adults should trump the rights of children, especially their right to have a mom and a dad. In one of our recent What Would You Say videos, she debunks the popular but poisonous idea that love's the only thing required to make a family. She's also going to be speaking at Wilberforce Weekend. I feel like the author of Hebrews here. I'm running out of time to talk about Reggie Littlejohn, founder and president of Women's Rights Without Frontiers, the world's leading opponent of sex-selective and forced abortions in China, and, of course, Emily Colson and Johnny Erickson Tata, who have dedicated their lives to honoring the dignity of those with disability and, especially in recent years, leading the battle against selective abortion, assisted suicide, and euthanasia. Through books and speaking, they make the case, like few else can, that a society that welcomes the vulnerable is a beautiful place to live. Each of these women is a force of restoration. Not only do they deserve recognition for the incredible work they do, they deserve recognition because the causes they represent and the groups for whom they speak aren't culturally popular. God bless these worthy women. If I were on an award committee, they'd have my vote. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
20 minutes past the hour, let's head outside. Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. A weak lake effect snow event is underway across some parts of western New York this afternoon, but it's really not going to amount to any great deal for most. We expect the flow to become more northwesterly with slightly colder air tonight and tomorrow, and that could increase the lake effect snow opportunities southeast of Lake Erie and Ontario. The disturbance will bring some flurries and sprinkles on Friday, but followed by clearing skies and sunshine to start the weekend. For this afternoon, mainly cloudy, flurries and sprinkles. A little lake snow could deposit a couple of inches in some of the high ground to the east of Lake Erie all the way to the western Finger Lakes. Temperatures holding nearly steady. Tonight, tomorrow, variably cloudy with flurries, some localized lake snow southeast of the lakes. Low tonight, 20s. The high tomorrow, low 30s. Friday is cloudy with light snow in New York, flurries and sprinkles in Pennsylvania, and high temperatures in the 30s.
Alrighty, Kevin Williams, appreciate it. If you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today, Wednesday, December 4th. The House Judiciary Committee holding its first impeachment hearing today. Correspondent Steve Dorsey is there.
Today we're hearing from four constitutional scholars on impeachment, including Harvard's Noah Feldman.
President Trump has committed impeachable high crimes and misdemeanors by corruptly abusing the office of the presidency.
Chairman Jerry Nadler.
If it is true that President Trump has committed an impeachable offense or multiple impeachable offenses, then we must move swiftly to do our duty and charge him accordingly.
The committee's top Republican, Georgia's Doug Collins, called the hearing a waste of time.
Put witnesses in here that they can be fact witnesses who can be actually cross-examined. That's fairness, and every attorney on this panel knows that. This is a sham.
That's Steve Dorsey reporting. President Trump abruptly leaving London earlier today after some controversy last night in which his Canadian counterpart caught on a hot mic mocking him for his long press conferences. The president called Prime Minister Justin Trudeau two-faced for not paying his fair share to NATO.
He's not paying 2%, and he should be paying 2%. It's Canada, they have money, and they should be paying 2%. So I called him out on that, and I'm sure he wasn't happy about it, but that's the way it is.
Correspondent Deborah Rodriguez continues.
Trudeau and French Prime Minister Emmanuel Macron were videotaped at a reception at Buckingham Palace last night, joking about all the time President Trump spent answering reporters' questions yesterday.
That's Deborah Rodriguez reporting. Buffalo Bishop Richard Malone officially stepping down. Pope Francis today accepted the embattled Catholic leader's resignation. In a statement, Malone said the diocese would be better served with someone else in charge. His departure comes as the diocese deals with a priest's sex abuse scandal. WKBW reporter Charlie Specht says the Bishop of Albany will step in on a temporary basis.
The Albany bishop will be essentially a caretaker here, and then a new bishop could be selected. Normally it takes up from 8 months to a year to select a bishop, but because this has been described as a five-alarm fire here in the Buffalo Diocese, this may be fast-tracked, and we could see a new bishop here, sources are saying, before Easter.
That is WKBW reporter Charlie Speck. New research shows you shouldn't wait until you're in your 40s or your 50s to have your cholesterol levels checked. Correspondent Vicki Barker.
A massive study of nearly 400,000 people in 19 countries found young adults with bad cholesterol levels are already incubating the risk of suffering a heart attack or stroke over the next four decades. The study in The Lancet concludes people should start getting their cholesterol checked in their mid-20s, not necessarily to start taking statins that young, but hopefully to start making the lifestyle changes that can prevent cardiovascular disease.
Vicki Barker reporting. FBI agents shot him to death in Chicago in 1934.
John Dillinger, America's most notorious desperado.
Today, a judge hears a bid to dismiss a lawsuit filed by Dillinger's nephew to exhume his body at a cemetery in Indiana. Michael Thompson claims he has the proof that Dillinger's remains were never buried there and he wasn't the guy shot outside that movie theater in Chicago 85 years ago. 40 years ago, 11 people trampled to death trying to get into a Who concert in Cincinnati. Now the rock group says for the first time since that tragedy, it will perform in that city. Frontman Roger Daltrey.
No, you don't feel guilty, but equally you do think, well, if we hadn't been playing the show in Cincinnati that night, 11 people would still be alive.
A concert scheduled for next April in Cincinnati. 25 minutes past the hour, next at noon, Inside Out with Martha Monikas Foster. Today's topic, Advent. Let's listen in.
We're now only weeks before Christmas, and maybe already the frantic pace has gotten a hold of you. Maybe you display some sort of countdown calendar. Maybe yours is an Advent calendar. But what is Advent? And is Advent any different from what we call the Christmas season? To find out, I talked with author and speaker Michelle Van Loon. She's written about Advent, though she didn't grow up celebrating it, or celebrating Christmas either.
I celebrated Hanukkah.
Because she grew up in the Jewish faith, when Van Loon came to Christ as a teen, everything Christian was new to her, including Advent.
I just thought it was a countdown to Christmas, kind of a sacred countdown.
She's learned more since then and talks about Advent in her book, Moments and Days, how our holy celebrations shape our faith.
Advent has historically been a time of fasting, of doing less, of delving into preparation and longing.
Through the centuries, Christians have walked through Advent with two thoughts in mind. They've honored how the believers before Christ came were waiting for the appearance of the Messiah, and they focused on the appearance of Christ that's still ahead of us, Christ's second coming, what we're waiting for.
Advent is meant to kind of dial our souls into that wait, which is the exact opposite of the way that our culture approaches the Christmas season and the Christmas holidays.
Advent's a time to slow down, to think about the Savior. The Christmas season, in contrast, can wear us out with the fast pace of performances and card sending and shopping and decorating.
It's too exhausting. You have fried families that are rushing from activity to activity, or adults that are going to Christmas parties and Christmas concerts, Christmas teas at church, and it all feels a little bit frenetic.
Though the two might seem opposed to each other, Van Loon isn't saying that we should give up on all the cultural excitement and family traditions, and she certainly isn't saying that we should add more church activities.
The whole idea isn't adding something at this time of year, but choosing to subtract so that you've got space to really contemplate what it means to be a follower of Jesus who is anticipating his return.
So step away from the frantic. Think about what we're really looking forward to.
It is not the new vacuum or the Instapot or the sled or the Red Ryder BB gun that we are waiting for. It's Jesus that we're waiting for.
If we slow it all down, is there really still a way to add an emphasis on the coming of Christ? Are there special ways to grow as Jesus' disciples during these weeks? Van Loon has some ideas.
For some, it may just be picking up an Advent devotional and letting that kind of guide your heart through these weeks leading up to Christmas.
Another idea could be to do just a little digging to learn how relatives from long ago celebrated Advent, or how people from that country, that place, today commemorate it.
Every culture has a story of preparation and hope that's a part of the church and the spiritual practice in that part of the world. And so that can be very meaningful.
Admittedly, those ideas might add just a bit to your schedule. But there are other ideas that blend what you already do with a special focus on the coming of Christ. One is to decorate your tree in the Jesse tree tradition.
You're not just putting your family ornaments on, but making or purchasing ornaments that speak specifically to the promises made in the Old Testament about Jesus, to the things that the people in the New Testament were looking forward to in the return of Jesus, that longing.
These are just some of the ways to slow it down and sharpen the focus. But as we walk toward Christmas, as we think about who we're waiting for, we know that all around us are people who find the holidays discouraging.
This is the season that leads into the darkest despair for many people who've lost a loved one or are losing a loved one. You know, it's especially difficult at this time of year. Families that have been separated, divorce, estrangement.
And so in the spirit of the Savior we wait for, we can invite others into the celebrations in an expanded family that Christ has woven together. And that doesn't violate the idea of not doing more. We can do only what we'd already planned. Just do it with more people.
It's a reminder that we're part of God's family, and that that family has a very different configuration than our nuclear family.
And maybe this is one of the great lessons of Advent, that we wait along with others as part of a family that's both different and more than what's pictured in the greeting cards that arrive through December.
We are a part of this bigger family, and it's a family right now that's marked by waiting for the return of Jesus, our King.
Michelle Van Loon has more to say about Advent, and you can listen to our full conversation and find links to her books at fln.org/insideout.
Thank you, Martha. Inside Out comes your way Wednesdays during the noon report.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. A weak lake effect snow event is underway across some parts of western New York this afternoon, but it's really not going to amount to any great deal for most. We expect the flow to become more northwesterly with slightly colder air tonight and tomorrow, and that could increase the lake effect snow opportunities southeast of Lake Erie in Ontario. The disturbance will bring some flurries and sprinkles on Friday, but followed by clearing skies and sunshine to start the weekend. For this afternoon, mainly cloudy, flurries and sprinkles. A little lake snow could deposit a couple of inches in some of the high ground to the east of Lake Erie all the way into the western Finger Lakes. Temperatures holding nearly steady. Tonight, tomorrow, variably cloudy with flurries, some localized lake snow southeast of the lakes. Low tonight, 20s, the high tomorrow, low 30s. Friday is cloudy with light snow in New York, flurries and sprinkles in Pennsylvania, and high temperatures in the 30s.
Thank you, Kevin Williams. Finally at noon, a Buffalo man who recently adopted 5 siblings so they would not be split up has been rewarded for that sacrifice of love.
What do you think about your new vehicle?
Oh, my goodness. Very nice.
Yeah, it is. Yesterday, 48-year-old Lamont Thomas given the keys to a 2018 Dodge Grand Caravan at West Her Automotive in Western New York.
I never expected all of this. It was just a normal thing for me, but I'm just overwhelmed with all the love and expressions of love that was shown to me and my family.
The van was filled with Christmas presents for the kiddos. Lamont Thomas has adopted a total of 10 children and has fostered 30 others in Buffalo, New York. Good for him. That is the world we live in this Wednesday. As always, thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.